Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Hey, music teacher friend, welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. You're listening to episode 121, and today I'm going to be sharing some what if statements I have created for music teachers. And basically, what it is questions you can ask yourself, and then other questions to ask yourself to move forward. So it'll make more sense once I get going, I promise. So there is a link in the show notes to some graphic organizers that you can print off to go right along with this episode. And also, if you're a Harmony member, then these are already available in the membership for you as well. So I'm going to go through 8 of these, and it's going to go pretty quick. And before I talk about these graphic organizers or what if statements, I want to talk to you about why I created them. For me, I have always been big on not staying stuck, especially this school year. When I'm working with teachers hand in hand, or even when I'm thinking about things in my own life, whether it's music teaching or not, it is easy to get stressed out and overwhelmed when you have all these things coming your way and you feel like you're not able to move forward because you don't really know how to process things or what issue to tackle first, or all those things can kind of start coming at you, and it's really overwhelming, let's be honest. And so for me in my life, I have mentioned this on this podcast before, I'm a huge list maker. I keep a very detailed calendar, and it's honestly because it helps keep my life going. It helps the stress level stay down, because when I have the calendar this week, for example, the week I'm recording this podcast, I have something every single day, whether it's a Zoom call, whether it is a podcast interview, whether I'm being interviewed for something, whether it's a meeting I have with someone, there's something every single day on my to-do list for both work and my personal life with my children and my personal life for myself. So what I'm getting at is, when it comes to life, I love to do this even in my personal life. Say, not like I create graphic organizers for my personal life, let's be honest, but I say, okay, what if this happens this week? What am I going to do? And then I go from there. Or what does my schedule look like this week? And then I can say, all right, what can I pencil in around that when it comes to, I don't know, getting groceries or going to the post office or whatever other, you know, detailed things that need to happen in my life, then you can start filling in all the other things, which I've talked about that as well before, I believe, on this podcast about keeping a calendar and things. But when it comes to teaching music, I am totally the same way, because I feel like there are, even in a typical school year, and I use air quotes, there are so many different things that go into teaching music besides just teaching music. And if you're a music teacher, hopefully you know what I mean by that. You're planning programs, you're lesson planning, you're working on your classroom management plan, you're having to attend staff meetings, you are needing to email parents or email other members of the staff, you are needing to set up your classroom, you're needing to purchase new things for your classroom, and so on and so forth, and assessment and all kinds of other stuff. But with that said, it can be overwhelming for sure to keep things going in a typical school year. But this year it is magnified. And if you're listening to this past the 2021 school year, then this will still apply to you. Okay. But because every school year, whether you're teaching virtually or on a cart or COVID is still exist or whatever, there's still going to be stressful things thrown your way that will sometimes stop you in your tracks and cause stress and overwhelm if you don't process through your thoughts. So how can you process through your thoughts? Well, I'm going to help you do that today. And I'm going to give you some what if statements where you can think about the question. And then I'm going to give you some, I guess let's call them sub questions to think about to help you process through that original thought. All right. So let's get going. And some of this is repeated things I've said on the podcast before, but I wanted to organize them all into one episode. All right. So number one, what if my students can't sing? Now, as you're listening to this, you probably already are into the school year. So you're already planning lesson plans around if your students can't sing, if that is what your particular school or district has the guidelines set in place. Every school is different. Everyone is going to have different guidelines in place. And so whatever your school looks like, you may already be needing to plan lesson plans based on what if your students can't sing. But if you still feel stuck, these are questions you can ask yourself. Have you looked at your curriculum map? The very first thing you need to do is to look at your curriculum map, whatever curriculum map you're using. It does not matter to me which one you're using, okay? There's a ton of them out there. And so look at your curriculum map. And why am I saying to do this if your students can't sing? Because when you're looking at your curriculum map, you'll be able to focus on the teaching concepts and objectives and not so much what song am I teaching. Does that make sense? If you're teaching steady beat, then you can say, okay, my concept I'm teaching is steady beat. How am I going to teach this? I still want to use this song, but instead of my kiddo singing, I need to adapt it in a little bit, adapt it in a way where they can still focus on steady beat. So that goes into my next question is, can I sing while my students listen? So are you allowed to sing while your students listen? And while they're listening, can they keep the steady beat on their laps? Can they clap the rhythm? Can they do some movement activities while they are listening to you sing or listening to the song played on a Bluetooth speaker or whatever it might be? Are there music appreciation activities you can do together with your students? Can your students hum instead of singing? Can your students follow the melody while they're listening with their hands? Is there other instruction that can still happen? Like I said, if you're focusing on the teaching concepts, what other ways of instruction can still happen besides just singing? Can you send home samples of a song for them to listen to at home? Even if you're seeing students in person, you can still say, hey, you weren't allowed to sing this song with me, but I want you to find this on YouTube and sing it at home. Or here's a link I emailed out to your, or I posted on my Google Classroom, and I want you at home, just push play and sing along with it at home. Are you keeping in mind that the main goal is for your students to learn music? I don't know about you, but I did not go into college as a music education major. I did not think of myself as a singing teacher. Even if I were to teach middle or high school choir, you're still not a singing teacher. You're a music teacher. And so that's the main goal, right? Is to teach music. So even if your music teaching curriculum has been heavily based in singing, and most elementary music teachers, let's be honest, it is. It is heavily based in singing. Whether that's your strong point or not, this year you're just going to need to adapt a bit and keep in mind why you became a music teacher, and that the fact is that you're a music teacher over anything else. So keep those questions I just said in mind, where if your students can't sing, those are the questions to ask yourself. And you can definitely go back and re-listen to that if you missed anything. Question two, how can I connect with families and students at the beginning of the school year? So maybe you're listening to this and you're already past the beginning of the school year, but you still want ways to connect with the families and students you work with. So how can you do that? All right. So I'm going to just give some ways, and then you can take one or more of the ideas and run with it. Can you post a get to know you letter? Maybe you normally are used to posting that on a bulletin board outside of your classroom or even inside your classroom for students to read, but maybe you're finding yourself teaching virtually. So is there a way you can post a Get to Know You letter on your Google Classroom or your school's website or whatever it might be so families can read it on their own? Can you do a Get to Know You activities or welcome songs with your students? Yes, even virtually. Have you shown up to the general classroom Zoom calls in their Google Classrooms? Can you post links in there for them to get to know you? Can you just pop in just to say hi without any music lessons prepared or planned, to just pop into the classrooms, maybe even as a surprise, just to say hello to the students and introduce yourself? Maybe you're new to the school, or maybe there's new students. So just introduce yourself the best way you can. Are you showing up if you're in person in the hallways before and after school? Are you making yourself available? Are you making yourself seen and present as much as you can to connect with your students the best you can? Have you asked get to know you questions of your students? Are you just hopping in and immediately just going into teaching some music? Are you doing some icebreaker questions or asking them about themselves a little bit? And of course, you can't fill up the whole entire class period with that, but taking the time, we've talked about that before on this podcast, 5 minutes of your class period to do some get to know you activities with your students or to ask them questions about things non-related to music is super important. And that will definitely help you with classroom management when you focus on relationships with your kiddos. Can you call new families and introduce yourself? And of course, as the music teacher, when you have 700 to 800 students, that's going to be really hard to do, especially if you don't know who the new families are until the school year starts. Maybe it's really hard to do that, but maybe you start slowly finding out once the school year starts who the new families are and the new kiddos are in class. You can definitely start calling families and introducing yourself or shoot them a quick email. It takes no time at all. You could even copy and paste, guilty of this over here in my own world, but you can copy and paste an email template you've already typed up and just paste it to new families or put their email in a blind carbon copy and send it out in a mass email. It really won't take that much time. And if you're new, what are ways you can say hello to new families and students? Just be creative with it. Like I said, show up virtually or in person. Just be there. And instead of an in-person meet and greet, can you create a welcome video? You can just record yourself, even from your phone, just a super quick welcome video and post a link wherever you post links for others to view it on their own time. So number three is, how can I best virtually teach? Still focus on looking at your curriculum map, focusing on the concepts you're teaching, and knowing that in-person instruction and teaching virtually are totally different worlds. So focus on the teaching concepts and the objectives. What are you wanting to teach? And then how are you going to best teach it? Really honestly, still keep in mind that the main goal is for your students to learn music. You can still, like I said, with the singing, send home samples of a song for them to listen to at home. Or if you're teaching virtually, post it in the chat box, post it in the comments. What are other ways you can do instruction? There's so many different technologies out there that you can share with your students when it comes to them creating music on their own or with a group of students, or different ways you can share lessons and ideas for them using technology. So map all that out, figure out what you're wanting to do and how you're wanting to best use technology to reach your students, and just have a plan for it. Make a plan and move forward. And remember, we've talked about this before as well on this podcast and previous episodes, is your plan as a teacher does not need to look like anyone else's. So you make a plan for virtual teaching and just keep moving forward with that. Don't get stuck on all the different virtual ways of teaching out there, the different technologies, but just focus on what you're comfortable with and share that with your families. Number four, what do I need to think about with teaching on a cart? All right, so there's a few things here. What classrooms do you need to be at and when do you need to be there? How can you decorate your cart? That's something to think about. You want to keep it simple? You could just literally use bulletin board paper and make it simple. Are you familiar with the different classroom expectations? Maybe get familiar with the way the different teachers that you're rolling your car into, the different ways they do things, so you're familiar with how maybe you can just adjust and adapt to their classroom management system and then tweak it a little bit to make it your own for music. Have you adapted your lesson plans for teaching on a cart? Obviously, you're going to probably need to plan less to allow time for stopping and starting. You're also not going to have all of your instruments with you and all of your teaching materials, and they're not going to be able to move around the room as much. So really plan for that as well. Do you have your classroom management system ready? Now remember, the classroom teachers are already going to have their system in place. So a lot of it, you can just adapt and adjust based on what the teachers are already doing in that particular classroom. But with that said, even though you're not in your air quote music classroom, you can definitely still adapt and adjust it to fit your classroom management style. You can still have your own nuances as the music teacher for the students to adjust to and teach them what it is. This is what I expect in music. And even though you're not in my classroom, this is still what we do in music and what I expect from you. Do you have bins or binders that you need? Have you organized the resources and materials on your cart yet? So all of these things, think about when you are teaching on a cart before you even roll your cart to a new classroom. All right. So the next one is, what if you're teaching music in your classroom? Now, in a typical school year, you obviously probably know, unless you're a new teacher, you know the things you need to think about when it comes to teaching in your classroom. But when it comes to teaching during the pandemic, there are a few things you need to keep in mind this school year. So I'm going to mention this one first again, but look at your curriculum map. If you're teaching music in your classroom, even if you have to adapt and modify things, still looking at your curriculum map, focusing on the teaching objectives, still focusing on the concepts you want your students to learn each 9 weeks will help you when it comes to planning activities to do in your classroom. The next thing to think about, though, is how do you need to adjust your lesson plans? Do you need to adjust them at all? Do the students need to socially distance and spread out? Are they going to have masks on? What do you need to set up in your classroom? Are you going to need to disinfect? All of these things you need to think about. Do you have technology ready to go? Are you going to need to disinfect your classroom between classes? Are you going to be using instruments? And if so, how do you plan to do that? Are you going to have different instruments per different classes, different grade levels? Are you going to just use simple instruments so they're easy to disinfect? How are you going to do that? You need to think through those things. How are you going to set up your classroom? Are you going to have a way to set up your classroom that is different than you normally would, or is it going to look pretty similar? So thinking through those things are really important. The next one is, how do I teach in person and online at the same time? Have you looked at the learning objectives and focusing on the fact that maybe your in-person instruction and your virtual instruction won't necessarily look the same, and that's okay. Are there lessons you can teach simultaneously though? So a lot of this goes to not just looking at your curriculum map, but looking at your songs and lessons and knowing which ones you're going to be able to adapt, which ones you're only going to be able to do with your in-person students, and which ones are going to work better with your virtual students, and being able to adapt and adjust that way. All right. So thinking about these questions will really help you to move forward. Are there websites you want to direct your virtual learners to? Maybe you're teaching half of the class period to both your in-person and virtual learners, but maybe the rest of the class period, you direct your virtual learners to a particular website to learn about, I don't know, the instruments of the orchestra, while in person, your students are doing an instrument of the orchestra activity with you in person. They're both still learning the same objective, but maybe you're just presenting it in a different way. Are you looking at both your in-person and virtual learners while teaching, which is hard to do, but making sure you focus on the kiddos that are on the screen, you're looking at them, it looks like you're giving them eye contact from their screen just as much as you're looking at the kiddos in person. It just takes some getting used to and adjusting. It's not ideal, it's not fun, and it's going to feel awkward, but you will figure out how to both look at the kiddos in person and virtually at the same time. Are you doing your best and then just letting go of what you can't control? A lot of that is, for any of these categories, is important to keep in mind this year, because you're going to not know 100% what you're doing. You're going to want to do it all perfectly. You're going to want to have all your ducks in a row, and it's going to feel like they're scattered everywhere. So just do your best. That's all you can do, is do your best and don't be too hard on yourself. Are there extension or small group activities that your in-person learners can do? And then, is there independent work your virtual learners can do after you teach the lesson? So these are questions to think about when it comes to how do you teach in-person and online at the same time. Number 7 is, how can you meet the emotional needs of your students this year? I know this is a big one, and I know SEL is a huge, it's not just a topic, it should be huge every year. But this year it's especially hard because a lot of you are thinking, well, how can I meet the emotional needs of my students when I'm not even seeing them very much? So I'm going to give you some questions to think about as the school year goes on. First of all, are you remembering to take care of yourself? Are you remembering to take care of you just as much as you're wanting to take care of your students? I want to say that one first because it's super important. Are you leaving space in your lessons to talk about non-musical topics? We talked about that earlier. Are you remembering that your students have been through a lot during COVID? They're battling a lot of different emotions and thoughts. And so just keeping that in mind, even if you're not bringing it up all the time, but just remembering if there is some behavior issues or some focus issues going on, just giving grace this year, not letting them get away with everything. It's not what I'm saying at all, but giving grace and just remembering that everyone from students to teachers are dealing with a lot will help you to give a little bit more, like I said, grace to your students. When a student has a hard time, are you remembering to not take it personally? That's a hard one. A lot of times you do take it personally and you feel like it's a personal attack on you and that a student just doesn't like you for whatever reason or doesn't like music, when a lot of times that's not always the case. Are you vulnerable in showing your feelings to your students? Do your students know it's okay to be themselves around you? Do you have a talk to me box where it's like a box in your classroom where students can put a note to you or a question to you or another way students can communicate with you? And then what songs can you include in your teaching to incorporate SEL? And it's not always just about the songs, but even any song, honestly, I feel like you can talk about the meaning behind it. And how did it make them feel? What emotions did it provoke? And those are all questions you can ask, whether it's songs that are talking about kindness and love and friendship. Those songs are important. But also, like I said, any song that you teach this year, you can also incorporate SEL in there as well. And number 8 is, what are ways you can make your music classroom inclusive to all learners? Which means, are you just making it a goal of yours to really find music that reaches your students? Are you making sure the music that you're teaching your kiddos reaches them where they feel like a connection point between them and the music they're listening to or learning? Are you making an effort to reach the different cultures and races in your classroom? What students do you have on a 504 plan or an IEP? Have you looked into the racist backgrounds of the songs you've taught before? And it's okay to change it up or to take them out of your normal teaching rotation. Are there songs you can swap out for other songs? So it doesn't mean you got to do away with everything. You can find new music to plug into the songs that you took away. What songs, dances, and games can you do from around the world? Even ones you need to adapt and adjust this school year. Which ones do you want to do? And then how are you going to make a plan to still teach them to your students no matter what your teaching situation is? What websites or videos can you use in your lessons? Are there videos you can show your students of different dancers? Are there different websites they can go and explore different instruments from other cultures? Find those websites and videos and then make a list of them. Keep a categorical list going so you can easily access them when you need to. Do you have a variety of books about different cultures and races that you can use in the music room? And if not, make that a goal of yours. Make it a goal to really find books that you can bring in your music room this year that will really help the students in your classroom to connect with other cultures in music and that they can relate to. So I hope that these eight categories have helped you. Like I said, look in the show notes for a link to go and download these graphic organizers and really don't stay stuck this school year. If you feel stuck and you feel like your mind is going through a million different things at once, take the time to really focus on one question at a time and then say, for instance, if my students can't sing, now what? Not, well, they can't sing, music is over this year. No. If my students can't sing, have I done this, 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 and this? And then don't just ask yourself those questions. Then move forward with taking some action steps to move forward to really make it a goal of yours to get past that stress and overwhelm and move forward with confidence into the rest of the school year. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.